Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you who have the final say. This is your show. It's Kim and Lavoie. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to KimandLavoie.com. Kim and Lavoie, they're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
It is the Wendy's Big Show. Again, the 13th annual Toy Drive, WSSP Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robinson's Community Services, presented by Annex Wealth Management and Bayview Shade and Blind, all this week at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. Can't make it out, please do donate online at 1057fmthefan.com. Again, thanks to Bear Sunrooms, bearsunrooms.com, for being our provider each all week long. Official bank of the Toy Drive, Great Midwest Bank. They've been collecting toys for the last month or so, and they'll be dropping off all their toys from the Great Midwest Bank locations they've been collecting from. And, of course, don't forget Young Express. They have their matching hours all week long at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. each day, whether it be on Chuck and Winkler at 9 a.m. or 3 p.m. here on the Wendy's Big Show. That matching hour just ending here a little while ago. And, of course, thanks to some of our great sponsors, too, Allstate Insurance. They've been having volunteers out here throughout the week and will all week long. And out here right now, Steve Schreck, Allstate Insurance Agency out here helping to collect toys. So our appreciation to them for helping out. Brothers Consolidated Heating and Air Conditioning, Young Express, and of course, Rocky Rococo Pizza and Pasta.
414-799-1250, live at 1057fmthefan.com, Wendy's Fresh, Never Frozen Inbox. We're live out here, as Sparky just said, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. Just had some pasta dropped off.
Fazoli's.
From Fazoli's.
Yep.
And
it's delicious.
Gary, as a great friend, ran over and said, "Bill, you got to go get a plate, man.
You got to go get a plate there for Zoli's.
Got to go get a plate of this chicken Alfredo.
I mean, if you guys are over there listening, you need to go get your plate there for Zoli's.
So,
you guys better go get some.
As a very, very suave, sophisticated individual, Butler says,
Debonair,
I'm just going to get me a to-go plate.
Right. I wrote my name on it.
How you going to get it to-go plate?
This man empties out one of the trays that the breadsticks were in. Puts about 15 of them things in the side.
God is good.
He just starts shoveling in the pasta.
Sometimes God give us blessings where I'm thinking in my head, I got to cook this evening for my family.
Not
Thank
anymore.
You, Fazoli. Between Fazoli, how you say Fazoli?
Fazoli.
That one too, whatever you just said. And Wendy, I ain't got to cook tonight. So I can sit here and just talk.
I'm talking to him.
And I had Perkins when I first got here. Bacon, eggs, sausage. Walked right in Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Went upstairs. They had two microwaves. The one on top was the best. 45 seconds, just like you sitting down at Perkins. Unbelievable. I love
15, 20
what
times.
About other people might want to eat some Fazoli's.
I left a corner in there for somebody.
You got all these people out here freezing out here. You taking all the food.
Gary, he did everything but pick the thing up and just start shoveling it in.
I seen him do it.
And I'm like,
you know what? Ain't no shame in his game. I seen him do it.
I learned from Robbie.
I seen him do it now. Because we had a birthday party, a Halloween. What kind of party we had somewhere at a Spiritual News One? That joker tore us from salmon now.
There is no shame in his game.
No shame.
As he just leans back, he knows exactly what's up.
He says Special News One. It's Spectrum, bro.
Spectrum News One.
How did you get a degree?
Huh?
Hit the huh button, Sam.
They about 25 huhs behind, man. Don't even worry about it, Sam.
Does this Badgers football program still bring you some excitement, even though the college football playoff might not be available? Gary, I know you guys talked a lot about this over the weekend on the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold
Open
post-game show.
Open with it. Can you believe that?
Bill How big Michaels. Of a win was this that you guys just picked up this weekend against the Minnesota Golden Gophers?
Yeah, my good buddy Bill Michaels opened with it. It shocked me, but it was pretty big news over the weekend when you thought that they were going to go there and lose. Listen, I'm not letting anybody spoil my excitement over this Badger football team because I know what they are. I will listen to what's the guy Ryder than you?
Yeah. Yes, with Bill Ryder.
He comes on after us, doesn't he?
Yes, yeah, he does.
Can we ever get him on?
Yeah, we could do. Yeah, we could.
I'll
get
text
Bill.
Him.
Let's try to get him on.
He also does a TV show during our time as well. So he's on TV, and then he starts his show during the 5 o'clock hour of our show.
Ryder than you the other night broke it down, and I was already feeling good about my program, so I ain't gonna let nobody steal my thunder. But really, Ryder than you kind of broke it down, and the basis of his argument was he was talking about Michigan and how everybody in Michigan wants Jim Harbaugh to be fired. And he said, you know what, if Michigan aren't careful, they're going to end up being like Northwestern. And then he backed up. He goes, no, let me just take that back because that's a bad comparison.
That's a tough one to make.
He says they're going to end up being like Nebraska, a blue blood program that is now no longer and can't seem to get back there. He is saying Michigan need to recognize who they are. The days of Bo Schembechler are gone and over. He goes, I'll be honest with you, and I do feel this way. He goes, I'll be honest with you, there's only like four or five teams, Leroy. Mm-hmm. He didn't throw in Florida State, but it's Alabama, it's Clemson.
Ohio State.
Then he threw in Ohio State. Then he gave you a list of every now and then. Every now and then, Georgia.
Yep. Penn State.
He didn't have Penn State in the area now. Every now and then, Georgia. And he said, every now and again, Oregon.
For sure. With the money that they have, Nike money,
right,
Fortnite,
right.
For sure.
He gave you maybe three teams every now and again will rotate with that fourth place if Alabama falls out. And Auburn was another. Every now and then, Auburn. Which, makes sense. I mean.
Yeah, Alabama's not the Alabama.
But he says they're always going to be there, though. I mean, Wisconsin's never going to be able to compete with Alabama.
Hey, Alabama. Well, now, wait a second. Now, Alabama had some down years, too. So, Saban got there, the Mike Shula era wasn't exactly great.
Messed it up.
Right. So, and DeBose was there, too, for a short while. Like, he won very good. So, it took a while for them to get back. But they were able to get back and turn the corner.
And that's the same thing he said about Clemson as well. Because Clemson was knocking on the door.
Yeah, he was.
Dabo went in there and just changed the whole landscape of what they're doing.
Yep. But, again, I just don't think that's possible at Wisconsin.
No, and that's what he said. That's not going to happen at Wisconsin because he did bring Wisconsin up. He goes, one thing I like about Wisconsin, they understand who they are. And he goes, as long as you understand who you are in the lexicon of the NCAA, you're going to be successful.
I think that the slander that Jack Cohen had to go through to get this job, because a lot of people wanted Graham Mertz, and I was one of them. But as soon as he won the job, I'm on board with Jack Cohen. He went there and played a great game in some tough conditions. But that was the last you've seen of Jonathan Taylor. Now, I don't know if they have an heir apparent to him, if the reign of great running backs over or not. But their goals, when they lost to Illinois, I said, oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Can they really get to the Big Ten championship and represent the West?
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost another one.
Ohio State.
I said, okay. This looks like the rematch. So you go in there, you go against all the rotor boats. That rotor boat's taking on water.
Yeah, they sunk a boat this weekend, that's for sure. I mean, it was.
Oh, Chris, man. I never see trick plays from them, Steve. I don't see trick plays from Wisconsin. They have the best offensive line, arguably. And they just run the football and throw some passes here. They were taking chances with reverses and throwing the ball deep and throwing the ball to Taylor. And, I mean, I didn't see 38-17. I really didn't see that. So that was just truly amazing to see.
But this is also a very different conversation than we had a few weeks ago when it was, well, this team's just not strong enough to go to the college football playoff. Paul Chris not going to get there. They've probably gotten
play the game.
Too far farther than they've gotten. You know, that time when they were one drive away from the college football playoff and they couldn't beat Ohio State, that's their last chance. So are people excited about this? Because I'm jacked up to be able to watch the game on Saturday night. I don't know how great of a game it is, and Las Vegas is saying it because they're 16.5-point dogs.
If they hold them to 10 points and lose by 10 points, it was a tough game. They're going to the Rose Bowl. If I'm the Rose Bowl,
I think
Bowl
they're
committee,
going to the Rose Bowl either way.
If I'm the Rose Bowl committee, I got my eye on Wisconsin. Because I know they're going to bring thousands of people out there, and I can put together a big-time matchup with Wisconsin.
But do you? Because, Gary, just this past weekend, Minnesota was able to release how many of those different tickets that Wisconsin holders didn't go and drive like 5 hours to go to the game this past weekend. Minnesota was able to sell back, I think it was like 1,300 tickets that Wisconsin turned back in.
Right.
So, like, if you're the Tournament of Roses committee, at this particular point in time, I agree with you. I think a lot of people would want to go to
that's
the Rose Bowl.
That's an outlier, though. That's an outlier.
Would that be an outlier? Or, are they still going to travel like that?
Well, the reason why it was outlier because the weather was bad.
Okay.
There was snow everywhere.
Well, they're used to bad weather, but I think a lot of people
weren't going
to
drive because it's a drive. You drive.
They've driven.
Yeah, that was
bad. They've driven in bad weather before. I think a lot of people in Wisconsin thought they were going to lose. With the bad weather, I ain't going to see that.
Yeah, I'm not going to drive up in this to see him lose.
Right. But now, if you're the Rose Bowl committee, Gary, Paul, Chris, what time y'all getting here?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you look at the program, and you just got to understand what the program is, and they're doing a great job.
Don't that drive you crazy, all this Badgers,
I guess you just got to understand not everybody can be Alabama and Clemson. That's what it
or
comes
LSU.
Down to.
Or
well, you
LSU.
Can't lose Illinois. I get that.
Well, I mean, but because of the way they run their program, they're going to lose to Illinois. They've always done this every year.
If they didn't lose to Illinois.
Yeah.
And they had lost to Ohio State, they'd still have a chance to make the playoff.
Yes, but the program is built in such a way that it loses games like this every single year. You don't know which one it is. You try to predict who it is, but they do. They cannot go undefeated. Now, Steve is right. Now, had they not lost to Illinois and lost to Ohio State, they'd have been in it.
But listen,
I thought Paul Chris coached one of his best
games. Yes, he did.
And that Jonathan Taylor, they crawled the line. They figured out how to get him loose outside in some pass plays. And you're right about Cohen. Cohen, that pass he hit Cephas on, missed those passes early in the year. I mean, the same pass overthrew somebody.
This is the last game Cephas too.
No, he's coming back.
No, he's out of here.
He's coming back.
If he comes back, they got something cooking for next year.
Is he eligible to come out?
I don't know if he is or not, but
I ain't coming
how
back.
Long, well, cause
I know he's at
like
least a
third years.
Round pick. Because if he go to the combine anywhere around a 4-4,
Leroy, he's the best. He's the best
size?
Receiver we had since Al Toon.
Oh yeah, I'm coming.
I mean, he's good. I mean, but he doesn't get the notoriety that he should
or the targets
or the targets that he should get because of the offense.
Right.
414-799-1250. How excited are you about this Badger program?
He got that
how much
funny
does
look.
It bring
well, you told him this 10 years ago. He don't want to believe it, but I think it's setting in.
Well, I was going to see how much excitement Steve has about the Wisconsin Badgers, but he's folding his arms, so we'll hear about that after the break. But first,
he got his khakis on.
About his football experience party at the Mecca.
Yeah, I'm more excited about that, to be honest with you. Football experience party.
Come on, Steve.
At the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill coming up on Sunday. Green Bay and Washington, no better place to be. No other place has a 42-foot-wide ultra-high-definition screen surrounded by 9 other big-screen TVs other than the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill, located in the Deer District across from the Fiserv Forum. The menu has been created by a team of talented chefs that elevate sports bar fare to a whole new level. This place is 3 levels, the Marcus Sports Bar and Grill. The third level has the second bar in the building. Plus, it has luxury skybox booths up there. Some of them have their own personal TVs. Fit 6 to 8 people, all facing this gigantic wall of TVs. Second level, mezzanine seating. I think they're the best seats in the house. That's also facing the big wall of TVs. And the whole first floor level. Now, when it's warmer out, which it's not now, you have a huge outdoor seating area on the third level and on the first level. It's just unmatched. Miller Lite prizes throughout the game. Every time we do trivia questions and huge grand prizes courtesy of Waukesha Sports Cards. Always something fun signed by a current or former Packer player courtesy of Rob over at Waukesha Sports Cards. Check them out. It's the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill. Be there on Sunday. Call ahead. Reserve your seat now. And don't forget, they're booking their holiday parties. They're booking up fast. Make sure to book your office holiday party or your family holiday party now. Located in the Deer District across from Fiserv Forum. Go to the Mecca. MKE.com.
It's the 13th annual WSSP Toy Drive benefiting Children's Wisconsin, and Robin's Nest will check in out in the Waukesha Blaine's Farm and Fleet location with Chuck Freeman next, 15 minutes away from David Bakhtiari's weekly appearance with us on the Wendy's Big Show. Keep it right here. It's 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You're listening to the Wendy's Big Show, broadcasting live from the 13th annual WSSP Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest Community Services, presented by Annex Wealth Management and Bayview Shade and Blind at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. On the Fan.
Live out here at the Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. It is the Fan Toy Drive benefiting Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest. Appreciate everybody for coming out here already, as we will be joined by David Bakhtiari coming up in a matter of about 15 minutes from right now here on the Fan. But if you can't make it all the way out here to the Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek, and you're more on the west side of town, you go see my buddy Chuck Freeman, who's at the Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Waukesha. Freems! Oh! Chucky, how are we doing out there?
Schmitty, doing a nice job. Yeah, we're out here in Waukesha, so if you want to come in like from Tulsa or maybe West Dallas or,
You
know, of course, Waukesha. We're right by Gerke's Corners, the Blaine's Farm and Fleet, that one, by Gerke's Corners in Waukesha. And we'll be collecting toys here. Bart and I are here. We're here from 4 until 6 today and Thursday. Of course, the 13th annual WSSP Toy Drive benefiting Children's Hospital. And we'll be just collecting toys, of course, cash and, you know, the wonderful toy store here, just like, you know, we see in Oak Creek. So we'll be out here until 6 o'clock and just getting dark out here. And we already had a few people come by and listeners. We're taking selfies with people and all that. So looking forward to meeting you and looking forward to getting your cash donation or a toy or two this afternoon until 6 o'clock tonight.
Freems, how far away are you and Bart staying away from each other? Because I know this Bear Sunroom studio is quite cozy. I don't know how you guys were... We're hanging around that tight knit together. Now you guys got to do it again in the afternoon today. Thursday?
You know, there's two entrances here. So he's at one entrance. I'm at the other. You know, we push our limit being together for 4 hours a day. So we're stretching it here a little bit. But I'll tell you this, man. I kind of, you know, this 4 to 6 thing, I could get used to, you know, being on the air 4 to 6, you know, in the afternoon and not having to get up at 4 a.m. every day. I could get used to this.
Come and hang out with the boys in the afternoon. We'd have a lot of fun, Freem.
I get used to sleeping in a little bit, getting an 8-hour sleep. I think Bart probably could feel the same way. Although he seems like more of a morning person. Although sometimes you see him when he comes in, man.
Yeah.
Holy cow. but yeah. No, it's all good here. So you got 16 guys in the same room there? Bart and us, Bart and I in the morning.
Well, pretty much. We're safe, you know, just bringing people in and out. It's a fluid situation. As my man
Gary
Ellison
likes to say. It's the big show. It's big. You gotta have about 16 people. Come on.
Freems, we'll check in with you in a little bit and make sure that you're keeping the distance from that guy because he can get annoying. Godspeed, my friend.
I like him in small doses. Thank you, Schmitty.
Right. Take it easy, man. That's Chuck Freeman. We'll check in with him and Bart Winkler a little bit later on as they are out at the Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
What
once
you got,
again,
Steve?
6th and Rawson in Oak Creek is where we are. They are right off of Highway 94. In Waukesha. See, Sparky Pfeiffer is stumbling over here as we tried to ask on the other side of the break at 414-799-1250. How much excitement can this Wisconsin Badger program bring to you? Even though there's not a playoff appearance in the future, there's a Big Ten title game appearance in the future.
Yeah, they're going to get smoked, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. You're just a step closer to getting embarrassed on national TV for a second time to Ohio State. That's really what it is. And we can talk about Barry Alvarez, us against the world, and everything else, but as Gary Ellerson has told you people time and time again, what they have athlete-wise at Ohio State versus what Wisconsin has athlete-wise normally is not very close. And the last time these two teams played, it did not look very close either, and I don't see how this is going to change. Can the Badgers maybe keep it close for a half? Maybe. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a rout again, probably by Ohio State. I'm not looking forward to it. Everybody else can look forward to watching this, and then about a quarter in or so, you're going to get frustrated and mad that you're watching and wasting your Saturday night watching this butt-kicking that's going to happen. That's where my concern is. Yeah, okay, I want to watch it. Do I want to watch it, or do I want to DVR it and enjoy my Saturday night and then go back and look at it later? I'm not quite sure, but that's the issue. I just don't think it's going to be close, and then it's going to be, well, don't worry, then maybe you'll get to go play in the Rose Bowl. Okay, you know, Rose Bowl is fine.
And what then you'll play opponent that you probably can beat.
Rose Bowl. Listen, Rose Bowl was great back when the Rose Bowl was something on a bigger scale, right?
Yeah.
But as Billy said, once you added the 14 playoff, Rose Bowl's not a part of it. Now it doesn't have, at least to me, it doesn't have the same allure. Before, when it was one of the bigger bowl games and you were in it, that was something. Now the big games are the other two games that are going on, the playoff games. This no longer is one of those big games necessarily, but at the end of the day.
Okay, but it is. Now, I get it. It's not the college football playoff. It's a New Year's Six Bowl. There's only six bowls now that are on New Year's Day. That still means something, doesn't it? Like for the older guys that are sitting back watching games
older
on
guys.
New Year's Day.
Yeah. The older guys, for sure. Yeah, like Gary's age? Sure, the Rose Bowl's always going to mean something from that perspective.
I disagree, man.
Because
think
of the tradition and the history and all of that. Yeah,
it's the Rose Bowl.
Sure.
Just like a couple of years ago, they were in the Orange Bowl. How many different times were you waiting for the Wisconsin Badgers to make it to one of those games? That's cool stuff. I don't get where this gets, you know, tainted because it's just the Big Ten championship game.
Right. Well, the Rose Bowl is still the granddaddy of them all.
Sure.
It is.
Like, parade is the best part of it.
No one ever would say that, ever.
I have. I love the parade.
The Rose Bowl parade is better than the football game that comes up 3 hours later.
Well, from a Badger perspective in this situation, yeah, I'm a big fan of that parade. I mean, you don't have to like parades, but I'm a big fan of that Rose Bowl parade.
Would you rather watch the parade?
Yeah, parade is really good.
He said he liked the parade over the football game?
Oh, I love the parade.
Over
the football game. Parade is great. Yeah.
Over the football game?
Well, in this situation, you're not playing.
In any situation.
In this situation here. In this situation.
What is wrong with you?
No, I'm bitter as hell.
What is wrong with you?
I am bitter about this whole football thing. I'm very, very bitter about the Badgers right now. Because what happens is, now I got to listen to everybody go, oh, the Badgers, boy, they played good against Minnesota.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody going to give a damn about it 5 years from now. All they're going to be talking about is how humiliated they got that year in the Big Ten Conference Championship game. Nobody outside of maybe you and a couple other Badger alum will be talking about that game. On the national stage, nobody will be talking about it.
But
they're going to be talking about the Badgers getting humiliated for the 10th time in a row.
We're not worried about the national stage.
Well, you got to be.
Because the people that understand – the people that understand the landscape of what college football is know the real truth, just like you do.
Why play the game then? I don't understand. If Ohio State is so much better than the rest of this conference,
then maybe they
ought to realign and make it a little bit more fair for everybody. Because nobody is taking that team down at this point, unless there's injuries during the course of their season or something like that. But on
year.
A year like this year, nobody in this conference
you
is touching that
do
team.
This. You always do
nobody
this.
In this conference.
You did. I, mean,
I
you
told
do
you
this all the time.
When
you
Urban Meyer,
same, you did the same thing with the Dodgers this year.
Yeah.
I mean,
when
you
Urban
always
Meyer
do stuff like
right,
that.
But when Urban Meyer
you
got hired, when Urban Meyer got hired, I told you it was done for the Badgers,
well,
and
sure.
you said, "Oh, we'll see. We'll see about Urban Meyer." It's been done for the Badgers since then. It has been. And it's going to continue.
And I didn't disagree with you about Urban Meyer because you can't recruit with Ohio State.
Nope.
But you always say those things, Steve. And like I go back, you said the same thing about the Dodgers this year, like how they were a shoe-in.
That's true.
It's not all that way. That's why you play the game. Yes. Is Ohio State better? Yes. Were the Dodgers have the better team this year? Yes. But that mean that that's what those teams – you got to play the game and see how it
shakes out. At least in baseball,
but you still got to be – You got to be relevant. You got to be able to be in it, and that's what the Badgers are. Not everybody can be those schools.
And I understand that the amateurism of college football may have waned at this point, but it is still amateur athletics and school athletics. You're looking at, say, Waukesha North walked into Muskego this year.
Well, you know
why are we even here?
Right.
We're gonna get smoked. Why are we even here? Why even play the game? Because that's what's on your schedule. You line up and you go play that team.
And that's great.
And then you get another chance to go play them if you go to the conference championship.
And that's great from a player perspective. But I don't really care about that. I'm a fan. I'm not a player. And from a player perspective like you're having, that's great. You be the competitor. You be the athlete.
From a fan perspective. How do I not have that perspective as a fan? How can I not have that perspective as a fan?
You're not going to agree with me on this, and you don't have to. But your perspective from being a former player is completely different than somebody that did not play the sport and is just a fan.
But you're saying
there are two different perspectives on how this goes. Gary will tell you. I've been saying this for years, and I think he understands.
But I don't get how you can only have one perspective of it. A lot of fans played these games.
Sure, a lot of fans have played football, no doubt. Not at that level. Not a lot of fans have played at that level. Not a chance. You didn't play at that level. You played at a lower level of college football. But you're still a player that competed in games and have that competition.
I consider myself more of a fan than anything.
Okay.
I don't know where this idea that only players think of it that way.
I think if you are a fan, and again, you could say you're both, and that's fine. I'm just saying from a fan perspective.
Yeah.
And you look at this game, for me, it's hard to get excited for this game when you know what's coming.
Well, the people that call into our stations are mostly fans, all fans.
Correct.
They're not former players.
Social media, same thing.
Right.
Let's hear from all these guys that are excited to watch this.
Let's hear from them.
All right, Joe's on the south side. He's up on the fan at 414-799-1250. Hey, Joe.
Sparky, I cannot agree with you more. Like, I'm not a college football fan, and the reason is they only take four teams in the playoff. But, like, they take four teams, what does that mean? That means they actually only really take one team, because who's coming in every year? Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. So it's really, like, one team that they take. If you take eight, I think they should expand. I know it was, like, new to college football to have a playoff, so, like, you know, heaven forbid, this is, like, all new. But, like, do eight teams so that you take the Power Five conference winners, right? And then you have three at-large bids. Exactly.
But Joel, and I totally get what you're saying here, but I think one of the coolest parts about college football is the value that the regular season has. I mean, I understand that you want to have more playoff games. Georgia got a playoff game. They get a playoff game. Their playoff game is the SEC championship. The Badgers had a playoff game. Their playoff game was at Ohio State. They lost. I mean, you go through the entire regular season, there are playoff games across the schedule day, week in and week out. Penn State had their playoff game. They lost. Minnesota had their playoff game. They lost. I mean, like, you continue to go down the rank of these teams that we believe have the opportunity or deserve to get there. Baylor had their playoff game. They were up 28-3, and they lost. So they don't deserve to be there if they're not one of those top four teams that didn't run through the gauntlet in the regular season.
But, okay, you make a good point. However, if I'm a fan, you lose, you're done. So why am I
right.
going to continue
it's
being
the same
a
as
fan?
The playoffs. It's the right? same as the playoffs. You don't get a consolation bracket.
But, like, right. the Badgers this year with two losses. Now, granted, the Illinois loss, even though it wasn't actually that bad of a loss when you look back at it, they were 30-point favorites at the time, but Illinois wasn't actually that bad. So, like, they have two losses, yet – they're done.
Yeah, okay.
So
Thanks.
Had a good season, but they're done.
I hear you. Thanks for the call. We got to go. We got to get to David Bakhtiari. Thanks for the call. Real quick here, but I think you summed it up perfectly. Right there. You didn't mean to, but I think you summed it up perfectly. You have the winner's bracket, which is the four-team playoff, and then the consolation loser's bracket on the other side of the teams that continue to get to play.
Of 120 different teams.
Right, but that's kind of what it is in the grand scheme of things. You got the winner's bracket. These four get to play. You lost in the tournament, so you get to go play on this side now for the rest of the way out. That is exactly kind of what it is. I think that's a good way to sum it up. And, you know, if you're still playing, that's good, right? You get more experience. You get more exposure for your program.
15 more practices.
All of it, more practices, right. So, again, from the athlete perspective, it's beautiful. From a coaching perspective, it's beautiful. But if we're talking about from a fan watching on TV and that type of stuff, I don't think most necessarily see it that way.
I disagree. I don't know how your December 28th isn't better because the Champs Sports Bowl is on or the Meineke Car Care Bowl is on. Like, how is that not better
total
that there's
crap.
More football on television?
That's just total crap.
That's
Those games are
to
total crap. Way too many bowl games to begin with. Way too many bowl games.
I can't even talk about this with anybody else. David Bakhtiari is joining us next. I don't know if he ever played in a bowl game. We should ask him
next.
The Packers left tackle joins us. The three-time All-Pro is on the Wendy's Big Show as we're live out here at Plains Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. We've got some cars just lining up with carts full of toys. We'll talk to them after David Bakhtiari. He's straight ahead on the Fan.
Now it's time to go under the helmet with Green Bay left tackle David Bakhtiari.
Let's talk a little bit about David Bakhtiari, one of the best, if not the best, pass blocking tackles in all of football.
Presented by Stein's Garden and Home. Stein's Treeland has the best selection of lifelike Christmas trees with over 100 displayed in store. Experience the season. Stein's, making the magic happen since 1946.
Tell you what, though, David Bakhtiari had a heck of a first half when Khalil Mack was lined up over him. He got no pressures out of that.
We'll probably be playing against each other for a while. I mean, every opportunity we get a chance to go against each other, it's going to be a good time. I think it's going to be one of those instances where we'll probably talk towards the end of one of each other's careers. You know, I wouldn't say we have too many conversations so far.
It's the Wendy's Big Show live at the 13th annual WSSP Toy Drive benefiting Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, Robin's Nest Community Services, brought to you by Annex Wealth Management, Bayview Shade and Blind. We're out at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. I'm Bill Schmid, Baby Tausch, alongside former Badger and Packer running back Gary Ellerson and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer now joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, coming off a win and had to be a satisfying trip back from the Meadowlands to Green Bay. It is Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari. David, appreciate the time again today, man.
Always. Thank you for having me on.
So I tried to draw a comparison to where this team was a year ago from now. Last time you guys came back from that stadium on a road trip, you guys had just won your first road game of last season towards the waning weeks of the year. Can you compare what this season is like just 365 days after the one you encountered last year?
I think last year it was a team trying to forge its identity and hit little milestones, where this year, we're a hungry team that knows we have very lofty goals, and those lofty goals are obtainable and right in front of us. So instead of a character-building season, this is a, championship-building season. And the only way that you're going to accomplish that is, progressing week in and week out, taking care of business one week at a time, and making sure that no matter what happens in that week, you grow from it, because this is a team that, we're getting close to that 10-game win number, and that kind of starts putting you into the thought of playoffs.
Hey, David, on these games, and there haven't been many of them, but on these games where Aaron Jones seemingly can't get going like he's had in many games, do you find that there's like a common factor as far as like why seemingly he can't get going in some of these games this year, as far as you can point to maybe how defense is playing him or something else?
I don't know. That is a tough question to answer. What I do know is, you talk about the backfield, you have a 1-2 punch, and I know come December, anytime it starts getting cold and getting to the latter part of the season, the defender's a little bit banged up, and they don't like to tackle very much, especially when you have a willing running back who wants to invite contact like Jamal Williams. This is where I think his carries will start picking up a little bit more, and you'll see a lot more productivity coming out of him.
But it felt like, though, the Giants paid special attention to the run. I mean, did they go to more of a four-man front than a three-man front, or is that where they normally run?
No, they're based. They're a three-down four linebackers.
Right.
Base run. So, I mean, they loaded the box like their normal standard defense. And, I felt like we were pretty balanced in that game. We were able to execute a lot of different types of runs, play actions to go off that. And I think that it was very balanced throughout the game.
David, have you been feeling like the last few weeks teams are making it known that they're going to load up and try to stop the running attack that you guys have showed so far this year?
I think that's the goal every week, and that's what you want to do. That way you have a softer back end, less guys in the back end, more guys in the box. And for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, I think that's a recipe for success.
Aaron said after the game that those elements that you guys were playing in, the snow and stuff, it's kind of like Packers weather, Packers elements. Quarterback of the Green Bay Packers saying that isn't shocking. But look, I mean, he's a California guy and so forth and everything else. I would assume he gets cold, just as cold as anybody else. Is it truly that type of weather? Do you guys kind of like rub your hands together and go, all right, this is our weather, let's go get it?
I think it's more, we are more prepared for it. We anticipate it because we endure it. Not only through practice, but just daily life, we experience that. So going into games, certain people, it might be more on their mind or affect them a little bit more. And for us, we wake up and drive the stadium at 6:45, 6:30 in the morning, where it's, right at the crack of dawn, the coldest hours. And I think when it comes to games, it doesn't really affect us. Definitely not me. I mean, I've been here. I'm a California kid, and I love when it's cold.
Hey, I just realized something. I guess I didn't realize you guys were up that early. But I mean, we're doing our toy drive out here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek for Children's Hospital, Children's Wisconsin. We have a 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. shift available if you want to come out and volunteer and help collect some toys the next couple of days. That early morning shift sounds right up your alley.
I got to make sure I got to take care of this, but I did hear about you guys' toy drive for the Children's Fund Foundation. That's a fantastic thing, especially in the month of December. I mean, what a better time to give back.
No doubt about it. And I think, if you're looking at your team moving forward And we talked about the offense and getting to know LaFleur's offense and all that stuff. Do you feel good about where you guys are at offensively with adding plays and taking plays out and being where you are offensively, or is there more to come?
I would say both. I think, you know, this whole year, again, this is our first year really just being introduced to one another as an offense and getting to know your personnel, what you like to do. I mean, I still think, you know, LaFleur and Aaron are still understanding one another and what they like and dislike. And I still think there's room to grow and evolve, and it's exciting.
Talking with Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari, the three-time All-Pro left tackle, joins us each and every Tuesday during the football season here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 on the AM side. David, as you guys move to the last 4 weeks and the final quarter of the season, 9-3, and we talked all year long after the 3-1 first quarter, and then you continue on and stumble here in the third quarter with two losses. But the way you guys have paced and the way that the team continues to build, three divisional games here to close out the season. Sounds like a rhetorical question, but it's obviously right where you guys want to be, correct? With a one-game lead and maybe a little bit of pad going into that Week 16 game against Minnesota?
I mean, of course, I'll always take a couple more game lead in our division to kind of secure that spot. But, you know, we control our destiny, and it's going to be a great test coming those last 3 weeks. And I think it's really going to test our football team and prepare us for playoff football because, I mean, honestly, playing division games is like playoff football. It's that kind of intensity and atmosphere.
Hey, real quick, we were talking about college football here. I want to get your take on it. I know Colorado didn't have probably the greatest year this year, but it feels like that with this playoff system that it's going to be Alabama, LSU, Clemson, maybe Georgia, Ohio State. Seems like it's the same five or six teams that are kind of always in the mix. What's your thoughts on college football and in the college football playoffs? Do you like the landscape of where it is? You understand about your program in Colorado, where they are? What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I am definitely, I wouldn't say the biggest college football fan. And I'm not sitting there itching to watch, you know, the games, but I do like to, you know, keep up to date with what's going on, who's, you know, where certain people are ranked, and definitely, obviously, if I can catch a Colorado bus football game, I'm going to definitely catch one of those. Excited for our program, if I can talk about them. Mel Tucker, I had a chance to really kind of have a couple conversations with him. I think he's a great guy. And at least for me, he's one of those guys I can honestly say I think he has what it takes to turn around a program. Now, the whole playoff atmosphere when it comes to college, I'm excited to see – who the top four are going to be in those games. Those three games are going to happen. I'm curious to see how everything's going to turn out.
So, David, did you play in bowl games back when you were at CU?
Is that a jab at me right now?
No. Oh, man. See, that's where me being a C-plus student comes into it. My homework was just not up to par, David.
C-plus student.
I mean, I won 11 games in 4 years.
Oh, my God, really?
It was either 11 or 13, one of the two.
All right, David, so we got a space heater here. I'm going to palm it real quick for that jab that I just took and heat it up.
No. So I never experienced what a bowl game was. My first bowl game was the Pro Bowl, which is kind of cool, but I wish it was the Super Bowl instead. So that's really the only other bowl I want to go to.
So because when you think about Colorado football, and now I'm probably going to age myself, but you think about, was that Cordell Stewart? And I mean, you think about – some of those teams. Who was the head coach that was there? That
McCartney.
I mean, they had a lot of success there for a period of time.
Absolutely. Even when Mason was there, we actually were just talking about it last week. I asked him how it was when he was there, and I mean, he was towards the tail end of all that success that was happening at CU. That you know, the history I only had to hear about. I wasn't able to experience. they were a force, especially back in the 90s.
Right. Okay, well, let's talk about some other history. Go ahead. Were you a part of the Go Play Intramurals brother history? Was that before?
when the coach went up and said, go play intramurals, brother? Because, I mean, that's on a side of history as well.
What was that?
Was that Dan Hawkins?
Yes, Dan Hawkins.
I think it was like the year before I got there.
Okay. Because he was talking about guys saying that they didn't have enough time off. And he said, you get a week off after this, you get a week off here. Dude, that's too much. Go play intramurals, brother. Yeah. But you're not going to be a three-time All-Pro like David Bakhtiari if you're doing that.
Forced some adversity. You know, I definitely made me harder around the edges being at CU during that time.
Okay, so hard around the edges. How did the turkey go? I don't want to say that there are any hard edges or burnt edges. How did
the turkey
go?
Good. You know, I got a bunch of compliments on it. I would definitely highly recommend smoking a turkey. If I could do it again, I probably would smoke it at 250 or 275. I think that'd be a little better than 225. I did like the lowest temperature possible. It was a success. I was pleased with it.
How long did it take?
It was about 7.5 hours. At 225 for 15-pound turkey. Yeah, so I was doing it.
Hey, you guys did it upright. Then you had some football on the TV. You had all the other fixings. How did Frankie's Dish turn out?
Frankie's Dish turned out well. She ended up making cookies instead.
Oh, man. Come on. Oh.
So that's why there wasn't an Instagram picture of it, huh?
Nope. Yeah. She's looking at me smiling right now, but I tell the truth.
Hey, it tastes good. Oh, that's all it is. Tastes good. Good. David, appreciate it, man. Good luck, buddy, against the Redskins, and we'll get ready for Bears week next week when you join us on a Tuesday, all right?
That's funny.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it, man. That's David Bakhtiari joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today.
All right. Mrs. Kim from Pilgrim Screw Out in Elm Grove area. Elm Grove, right? Yeah. She's sitting over there with her class. They just got done doing all their shopping. They showed up down here. She's on every year. She's a little frustrated that Rami is not here, and it's you, Billy, but I told her.
But it's you, Bill.
But I told
that's
her.
That's fine. I'll go to the bathroom.
I told her that you're a big, warm, cuddly teddy bear, and you're not, you know, that menacing deal like Rami was.
It's okay though.
We'll talk to Mrs. Kim coming up
next.
It's
fine, Miss Kim. Yeah. I'll just leave. Thanks to Sight and Sound Solutions, Rapina Realtor Group at Coldwell Banker Home Realty, Walmart, Running Rebels Organizations, and the Building Construction Trades Council. We'll talk to Miss Kim in her class next. It's the Baby Shade and Blind, along with Annex Wealth Management, presenting us here today out at Blaine's Farm in Fleet 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek for the 13th annual Fan Toy Drive. We got more right after this.
You're listening to the Wendy's Big Show, broadcasting live from the 13th annual WSSP Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest Community Services, presented by Annex Wealth Management and Bayview Shade and Blind at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek on The Fan.
Welcome back. It is the 13th annual WSSP Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest Community Services, presented to you by Annex Wealth Management and Bayview Shade and Blind. All this week at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. If you can't make it out, always can donate online at 1057fmthefan.com. Don't forget Tim Allen and former Brewers pitcher Paul Wagner will be out here tonight from 6 until 8 doing Hot Stove Weekly. You want to stop out here and talk to those guys, and they'll be having Pat Murphy, Brewers bench coach, on tonight. Also Bruce Levine from 670 The Score in Chicago. He's going to the winter meeting, so he'll be joining the guys tonight too, 6 to 8. Out here at the Toy Drive, Tim Allen and former Brewers pitcher Paul Wagner. This is always one of my favorite moments of the Toy Drive. Each and every year I look forward to it. And each and every year I think to myself, I wonder if this is the year the streak's going to end and they're going to pick somebody else. And it has not happened yet. And I'm very happy that it has not. And Mrs. Kim joins us now. Thanks for coming out again. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
So for everybody tuning in and didn't see your tweet, you're at Pilgrim School out in Elm Grove, right?
Yep. Pilgrim Park Middle School out in Elm Grove.
All right, so tell everybody how this all began a few years ago. And it's really all because of your husband, if we're being honest, right?
Yeah. It is because of my husband.
Yeah.
I was just trying to count how many years.
It's been like 5 years, I think.
I think this might be our fifth year coming out here. We have raised money for 12 years. We do the Penny Wars, which raises change in 5 days. And 1 year, we've found families to donate to. We found organizations, the Sojourner Truth House and Strain for the Brain and things like that. And one year we were kind of at a lull of what to where to donate the money, and my husband had always been suggesting the WSSP toy drive, and so we just had that opportunity, and we have now done it ever since, and it's tradition. And I bring a group of kids out who helped raise all the money.
Okay,
and we're here again.
But again, so they helped raise all the money. And how much did you end up going on your little shopping spree with?
We were just shy of $2,000.
Wow.
So we were about $1,962 and some odd cents.
Now, that's a real penny war we're talking about. It was getting real over there at Pilgrim Park. We're playing no games. Everybody around here is hanging out. We just took a couple of selfies. So the kids go and pick out some toys, go shopping with all the money you guys raised.
We grouped them by certain types of toys for, you know, age groups and Perfect. Things like that. And each group got a certain amount to spend, and we just go through the line. And when we get to
$1,000, they're in charge of doing their own math as far as what they're buying then.
Well, their smartphones are in charge of doing their own math.
Oh, well, of course.
Now, are these some of the same kids that you had last year?
Nope, these are all new eighth graders.
So nobody
got held back because they're all new eighth graders. And then, the group I brought last year, freshmen, I think the first...
Do they come back to you and ask you if they could do it again? Or does
they ever... actually never have, but when I run into them, they'll ask me if I'm still doing it.
Good.
Really?
Especially if I see them, if they're like... I ran into actually one of my former students at Baker Square having breakfast yesterday morning or on Sunday morning.
Should go to Perkins.
And
That's okay.
We tried. There was a wait.
We're
so
good. Yeah,
we're
I understand.
Very impatient.
I understand. Yeah.
You're good.
We did try going there. So we went over and
everyone's getting a frosty on the way.
They
out.
Actually asked. No, they're not. Stop smiling. She actually asked. She asked if we were still doing it because she knew it was this time of year, and we always, you know, do it the week right after Thanksgiving. And she was home for Thanksgiving, so
That's awesome. Some kids
always ask. But a new crew. I think our very first crew who came with us are freshmen in college.
Oh my
this
god!
This year, so, So that's how far.
So that this would be five then.
Yeah, yep. I think
five,
so.
Right?
Yeah.
Look at me doing math on the air.
Look at that.
Hey, the other thing about this is, as it's going on, do you guys set goals, like, in the classroom of, like, hey, last year my class did this, you guys be better? Like, do you do that type of stuff, or how does that work?
We try. There's some incentives as part of this. They're eighth graders, so food is always
a really good incentive.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah.
We should go get Leroy's food.
I made them not touch.
Yeah, play Leroy's food.
We should
go get Leroy's food.
But last year we set the record when we came out here with like $444. And they have that as a goal. And, you know, it's hard because it's a lot of change.
Yes, it is.
And we have no idea what it's going to count when we take it to the bank. And it's kind of, I told the kids I was a little nervous this year because it was a lot of just, you know, their attack this year was pennies.
Right.
So they were going to banks and clearing them out of boxes and boxes of pennies to the point where one of the kids here, Noah, he said, I just brought cash because I went to all the banks and none of them had pennies.
Get out,
Noah.
Attaboy,
Noah.
Yeah. Good work. Hey,
and
just
so
do it. I like his sweater.
It was kind of just like this up in the air. And so Mrs. Cisterniak, our principal, we went and we just kind of went back and forth about what our total was going to be.
Right.
And it's just a big guessing game by the time we get done with it.
Now, who would you bring with you? It's the first time?
This is Mrs. Cisterniak. She is our brand new principal this year. And she came with us. So this is her first experience with the toy drive.
Right.
Original Wisconsin native, came back to different parts of the country. And we're so, so lucky to have her. So we are so grateful that she is with us. And hopefully a familiar face that you will now see traveling with me every year.
So she was a part of the whole shopping spree.
Yeah, she was. She got to experience the whole thing.
Yeah.
She has the credit card, so that's really, really important.
You will not forget that experience, I promise you. Yeah, we'll see if she shows back up next year for the shopping spree again. Yes, let's see.
Like I said, we kind of need her because she has the credit card to pay for them all. So,
that's awesome. Hey, I appreciate it so much. I know Gary does, Billy does. Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, certainly when we're outside. This is one of my favorite moments every year of the toy drive. I think Gary and I probably have 3, 4, 5 different times where the same people come in and do something that we look forward to every year. This is one of them. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Real story here. I was talking to a young lady yesterday. I was at an event, and her son, I believe, was 8 years old and had leukemia. And I said, well, as you know, we're having our toy drive, you know, and She goes, oh, my God. She goes, you're at 105.7 FM The Fan. I go, yeah. She goes, you know, they talk about you guys all the time, and my kids stayed there overnight, and they had toys. They had a lot of toys that he could play with. And you know what? And sometimes you hear something like that, that where no one knows you, that who you are, and then they say, this is what benefited my child when he was at Children's Hospital. You know that you're doing the right thing for kids. And listen, you never want your child to be in the hospital over holidays, but when they do, or if when they go, that we can do something to bring a smile to a kid's face. During the holiday season. I think this was all about. Sorry, what, 13th annual, Steve?
Yep, 13th.
We've
been doing it for 13 years. Yep. Now, I remember when we first started, we were in like a little pop-up tent and just freezing, right?
Froze.
And, yeah. But thanks
and
to –
what was it,
right,
like $10,000 that year? $10,000
no, first
that
year
you
was
guys raised?
$7,000. And they expected us to bring a box to Children's Hospital back then, and we didn't bring a box. We brought a small moving truck.
Okay.
We showed up to, because back then we brought it straight to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we showed up and went inside, said, oh, we got your toys. Mm-hmm. One person walks out. Okay, I'll come help you. Comes outside, opens up the back of this little small moving truck and went, oh, my goodness. Went back inside, called all hands on deck in the hospital that weren't busy doing something, come out and help unload. Mm-hmm. And from that, now we drop it off at a completely different facility that can hold more toys. Mm-hmm. But it really does toys all year. It's for Christmas. It's for birthdays. It's for you're having a bad day, need to smile. It's for checking out. All these different things come from this main toy drive. And I double-checked this year when we talked to Sage over at Children's Wisconsin. And I said, so we're pretty much the only toy drive you do, right, at this point? And she goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, we're good. You guys are the only toy drive we need. We're good. You guys have completely, you know, blown this thing up to a whole new level. And we can't do it without everybody's help in the community, and you guys are you know, main contributors to that, so thank you very much.
Right.
And
couldn't do it without your help.
Very happy to be here. Yeah, we'll see you next year and many years
look
to
at
come.
You!
Oh, seven!
Man, you almost got through without crying. Yeah. No tissue, though.
Gary did it. He had to get all that.
I almost cried yesterday when it's it is. It's an emotional thing. I mean, if you ever have children, you've been in Children's Hospital before, it is. It's super emotional. And listen, these kids, you should know what you're doing. I mean, what you're doing is great.
Huge.
You're helping kids out that need a smile on their face. And sometimes we all need that, you know. And I think it's great what you're doing. You learn. I just think, you know, in the future, you know, this is great what you're doing. And you keep giving back to your community, because I think at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. We as one, we love each other, and we want to make our community better than what we – than what it is.
And
right?
Now my students are crying, so thanks.
Yeah, that's
what it's all about. Nice inspirational part of the show, but it's great. I'm ridiculously proud of every group of kids that I bring
awesome.
Here, and it's a great experience. And like I said, it's kids giving back.
Yes,
that
kids helping kids.
Yep,
yeah.
Kids
can't
helping
beat it.
Kids.
Thank you very much, everyone, for coming out.
Appreciate it.
We've got
it's been incredible.
We've got to check in now with Bart Winkler and Chuck Freeman.
Where are they at?
They're at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Waukesha. Bart, how's things going?
Good. So I told you guys I was going to buy a toy, and I delivered on that promise. I found
Thanks
a toy that's like a, it's like an NFL matching game. So now at a very young age, you and your friends can sit around and say, hey, who that joker that play for that team, and then match it with each other.
That's good.
So,
I like it. Good job, bud.
Yeah, I was able to buy that. We're going to be out here at the Waukesha location until 6 o'clock. Chuck and I, again, the Waukesha Blaine's Farm and Fleet, where we're taking toys for Children's Wisconsin, cash donations. We've got a dip jar here if you want to go that way. So there's a lot of people that are just coming in and doing the regular shopping that are helping out, and we thank them. And then it's real cool to see those of you that have made it a point to get out here. And if you're on your way, see ya. We're going to be out until 6 o'clock. So certainly come on by, and again, we'll be here again on Thursday.
All right, Bart, we'll check in one more time with you a little bit later on today. Take it easy and be safe, and don't bother Preams too much.
He don't know. I don't even know where he is. I think he went shopping for salt or something. I lost him.
He could be in that candy aisle. It's the best place to go.
See
you later, Bart. We'll talk to you later, man. That's Bart Winkler out in Waukesha at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. We're at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. Guys, we're about 15 minutes away, from Mercedes-Benz Milwaukee North. It's 15 minutes away from pretty much anywhere in the city, and it's the holiday season. There's one stop that you have to make, Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. It's right off I-43 North, guys, at Silver Spring, just blocks away from the Bayshore Town Center. They have a huge selection of new and certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles that they're working hard to close out an already record-breaking year with even better totals. So I assure you that they will do whatever it takes to get you into the Mercedes-Benz that you've always dreamed of today when you get out there. Go talk to Austin Della. He's the sales manager. Tell him the Wendy's Big Show sent you. You can also check him out online before you get out there at MercedesOfMilwaukeeNorth.com. This is the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free Radio.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.